If you want a text, we'll springboard out of Romans 7. I wish I could have brought a sermon with me this morning, but I don't have one. I just got a thought. I hadn't even bothered to try to outline it. It won't outline. But it's wallowed around in my heart.
Yes.
And so I want to take a minute or two and share it with you. Have you ever read something or heard a statement made that you so identified with it, you associated with it? It was as if it gripped you. You could feel it. And it was a truth that you knew was you. And it reached so far down in the depths of it, you knew you wouldn't forget that. Because it was who you are.
Yeah, amen.
Now, you didn't say it, nor did you write it. But it was so much you that in your heart you thought, I think I could have said that. I think that's so much me. I could have said that. Of late, it seems as though that the Lord has brought only 4 or 5 places in the scripture. I have preached for many, many years the Bible. I do believe the Bible. But personally, I've only found 5 statements in the Bible of which has so gripped me as to where I am and who I am that I've thought, you know, I believe I could have said that. That's me. I'm not the author of it. God inspired it. But oh, he knew who I was when he had it written. I could have said that. The first one is found by the apostle, endowed with the grace of God to minister to our hearts. The Apostle Paul, used of God mightily. What a man of God he was. What a servant of God, all the way down to the end. There was so much that I've read that he has said that I would just tell you I couldn't say that. He said, whatsoever state I am in, I have learned therewith to be content. I'm not there. You ever been to Kansas? The state tree is a telephone pole. Now, I know he's not talking about a state, but I'm going to tell you, I couldn't say that. He said again at the end, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course. I can't say that yet. I hope I'll be able to. And I think the one that to me seems to be the most outstanding, that I have not even been able to grasp it, let alone say it. He said, I wish myself accursed from Christ. for my kinsmen in the flesh. I don't even know what that's about. Too far removed from who I am. But all there are some things that he said. Now, I just want to point out three of his, and I'll give you a couple of others in a couple of other places that I feel like I could have said that. Verse 24, Paul, this man of God, this servant of God, this apostle of God, said, "Oh." And anywhere you find that word, "oh," it is an expression of great depth. He is reaching down to the bottom of his spirit. "Oh, wretched man that I am." What a statement. He goes on to say he's, as far as sinners, the chiefest, the least of the saints. I feel like I could have said that. Oh, it's not that I haven't repented or Paul hadn't repented, but the spirit of repentance never leaves you. That unworthiness of what God has done for such a low creature. I come to say, "Oh, wretched man that I am." When I think about his salvation and where I was when he saved me.
Yes, sir.
I could argue with him and say, "I don't know if you were the chiefest of sinners." I feel like I was. When I realize how far he reached for such as I. "Oh, wretched man that he saved." But I would further it and say, not only in my experience of salvation did he save someone wretched, but I must be honest with you, in these 50, almost 6 years of walking with him, I've had to cry out on so many occasions, "Oh, wretched man that I am." The wretchedness of my thoughts, the wretchedness of my actions at times, my feelings. I feel like I could have said that. Never do I enter, and I mean this, into the house of God with the saints that I do not feel like I am the least of those that are there. And never do I stand behind this sacred desk to open this holy word of God that's just been sung about, but what I do not feel, my unworthiness to do so. A lot of things Paul said I couldn't say, but oh, I feel like I could have said that. "Oh, wretched man that I am."
Yes, sir. Man.
Now understand, the only way you can come to that conclusion is it has to be a revelation. God letting you know that you need not put any confidence in that flesh. And you'll never be any good to the kingdom of God until you find out who you are in it.
Yes.
And how little you are in it. and how least you are in it, and how unworthy you are in it. Don't we so often have to find that place, as the preacher was saying, in prayer, and the one thing that wants to come out of us to our Heavenly Father is, oh, wretched man that I am. I could have said that, Paul. I could have said that. It is me. But then I want to jump over to another text that has abounded within me. Paul emphasized his wretchedness. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I don't want to stay there and leave it there. It is the same Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10 said, came out of the same mouth, oh wretched man that I am, but I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul, that's me. It has been God's grace all these years. From top to bottom, from front to back, from inside to outside, all around, it has been the good grace of God that has brought me thus far. Oh, wretched man that I am, but I am what I am by the grace of God. Oh, if there is anything within me that God uses, it's because that His grace has administered it to me. We have nothing to boast of. Too wretched to boast. Too wretched to boast. But all I am a preacher by the grace of God. I'm a child of God by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you, I'm a saint by the grace of God. I'm redeemed by the grace of God. We have come to extol His grace from the same lips.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Had it not been for God's grace, where would you be? I have shared over the years some of my raising, my past. No church affiliation, association, no gospel, no nothing of religion of any sort.
Yeah.
I'm not too sad about that. I've often said I'm glad the Lord got me before the Baptist did.
Yep.
Raised without a mother. Left when I was a year and a half old, the youngest of nine. My father a drunk all of his days. Buried my brothers because of it. Buried him because of it. And so when I got saved as a 14-year-old boy, I had no foundation. I had no teaching. I had nothing as far as a connection to truth. And from this vantage point, looking back, I tremble at times of seeing where I could have fallen.
Yeah. Yes, sure. That's right.
Had it been left up to me, I would have fallen.
Yes.
Times of which I was willfully fixing to make decisions that would have destroyed me.
Yes.
But I see God's grace stepping out in front of those issues and taking care of them before I could even make the choice. The door slammed on it. I'm not here because I've always wanted to do
turned in the right direction. I'm here because the grace of God has brought me here. Sweat upon my brows at the times of which I could have turned, and times of which I could have fallen off the presses, I would not be here. Wretched man that I am, the spirit of repentance abounding within me, always unworthy, but I am what I am by the grace of God.
That too is a revelation. Paul has seen himself in its fullness.
Yep.
And he said, I can't trust a thing about me.
That's right.
Oh, wretched man. But he has seen God's grace in its fullness and sufficiency. The grace that saves us, sanctifies us, strengthens us, is our sufficiency.
Amen.
We just come together in these services to tell each other we're nothing. The best I can hear out of you is you're nothing. And the best that you could ever hear out of a man of God is for him to express his nothingness. And God's everything. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I am what I am. Woo! Well, those two ought to be enough. Now, I've only found five so far that I said I could have said that. Like, that's me. Totally. The third one that Paul said that expresses who I am is when he said, I am a debtor.
Yes.
Now we know you can't pay for salvation. You can't pay for grace. But if you ever get it, you're going to feel as though that since everything has been invested in you, that you need to give some of that back. If you ever find out what you have in Christ, you're going to want to pay your debt. You're going to feel like I've got to owe something for what's paid for me. He said, I am a debtor. To the Jew, to the Gentile, to the barbarian. He said, I feel like I owe so much, I'll never pay it off. Why do we preach? We got to pay our debts. Why do we sing? We got to pay our debts. Why do we win? We got to pay our debt. We're paying our debt.
That's good.
I must be honest with you. Of all the meetings that I preach, I feel more comfortable in a church setting.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Where there's somewhere around 30 or 40
yes,
or 50 or whatever. And these things I've tried to weed my way out of. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The only reason why I'm here is I feel like I've got a debt to pay.
Amen.
When I think about the cross, when I think about His blood, when I think about salvation, when I think about grace, when I think about redemption, when I think about the Holy Ghost, when I think about His Son who died for me, when I think about the church, when I think about the saints, when I think about how they took me in and how they loved me and taught me and trained me and raised me up and gave me opportunity to sing, an opportunity to teach, an opportunity to preach, when I think about everything that's been put into me, I feel like I've got to give it back. I owe Him my praise. I owe Him my thanksgiving. I owe Him my service. I owe Him my time. I owe Him. Paul said, I'm here. I got a debt. I am a debtor. I said, Paul,
amen.
I could have said that. He said, oh, wretched man. I said, Paul, that's me. He said, but I am what I am. I said, oh, Paul, I'm right there with you, buddy. He said, I'm a debtor. I said, yeah, well, I've been paying for over 50 years. I feel like I hadn't even, not even a spoonful. Not even close. But I love trying, don't you? I love trying. Now, I'll leap out of that for another one. I'm talking about just five places where I could have said it. Now, you'll see some things, and I'm going to tell you, if the Holy Ghost puts it in and says, that's you, you can say that. That's what you want to be saying, because people will hear that and it'll do something for them. It preach the whole Bible, but when you find something you can say, stay with that pretty good. And this is really where this came from for me. I just, in age, made the promise. And y'all ain't going to believe this. You say, well, what's the promise? 80. And you're looking amazed. I'm 70. I just turned 70. I asked my wife, I said, now that I have matured, should I present myself to the churches, Brother James, in a little different way? She said, probably. She said, don't be so witty and don't joke a lot and all that other stuff. And she said, don't act smart and intelligent. I said, what do you want me to do? She said, just be yourself. But this came as a result of what David said. He died at 70. I was scared to death I was going to die before 70. I mean, I didn't mind dying at 65, but I don't want to die at 69 in 9 months, 10 months. I'm going to make. Honestly, I was praying. I was praying and saying, oh, God, it's just 4 more days. Let me live 4 more days. I'm talking about, I could have said that. David's on his deathbed and he says, listen to this. I once was young, but now I'm old. Now I like to change that a little bit. I'm going to say, I once was young, now I'm older. Because you get older without getting old. But he said, I once was young and now I'm old. I have yet.
Amen.
To see the righteous forsaken, nor is he begging for bread. I've never been able to say that. I was too young. I preached it and I believed it because he said it. But I'm 70. I want to say to David, he said, I was once young. I'm now old. I've yet to see the righteous forsaken and see bread. Hey, Dave,
I can say that.
Amen.
Now listen to me, young people. I'm telling you from where I'm at, 70 years old. I once was young, believe it or not. Now I am older. Now listen to me. I have yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. David, I'm glad you said that. Thank you for saying it. Because I'm going to say it for you. Because I can say that.
That's right.
Now, I have throughout my walk with the Lord been closer to elderly folks than any. I just love them. And as I had this thought, I got to try to ponder it on my mind. If I've ever come upon one, I'm talking about a saint that's 80 and 90 years old, some 100. I knew 113, died at 107, 16, J.F. Akers. Priest in our camp meeting. And as I have shared with them, oh, they've been through the valleys. They've had the rough times. They buried some children, buried some loved ones. But I've never had one look at me and say, you know, the worst day in my life is when I turned it over to Jesus.
No, sir. It's good.
I've never found one that was disappointed in the Lord.
Amen.
Tried to think of some.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I was giving this little testimony here a week or so ago in a church, and a man was sitting right there. He looked like he was in the 90s. I don't know how old he was, but he was listening intently. And I said, you know, I'm trying to think. I can't think of one. I can't think of one. And I got right there eyeball to eyeball with him. He raised his hands. He said, Don't ask me. I said, when you're 90 years old and you can't think of one that has been forsaken and begging for bread, you're in pretty good shape. Hey, children, I once was young, now I'm older. I'm yet to see the righteous forsaken or to see begging for bread. I can say that. Now, I used to say it, but I couldn't say it. I was saying what David said.
Yes, sir.
But now I can say it.
Yep.
Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh. But I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
Which leaves me, I am a debtor.
Amen.
Once was young, now I'm old.
Yep.
Yet to see the righteous forsaken. Now I'm going to throw this last one in. Come across it, and you remember there in the book of Mark where the man had the son, had the demons, and he was casting himself into the fire, into the water, destroying himself. The man wanted the disciples to heal him and could not. So Jesus comes and he says to him, will you heal my son? And he says to him, do you believe?
Go ahead.
He said, Lord, I believe. But help thou mine unbelief.
Yes, sir.
In my walk with the Lord, that has been true for me.
Yes.
Lord, I believe. Yeah. Oh, but help thou mine unbelief.
Yeah.
And there are those times that you seem so strong and yet so weak.
Yeah.
I believe. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you believe this morning. But how many of you have struggles in believing? How those two can abide within the same heart. I remember listening to my, and I'm fixing to close. They always, you know how long you're supposed to preach according to how much water you get. He lived to be 96, pastored across those mountains in North Carolina, many churches, and started many of them, and evangelizing and everything. And the latter 10 years of his life, I just go by there. He wasn't able to pastor at that time, and I just sit and listen to him talk.
Yeah.
And he spoke with such assurance and such confidence. As I listened to his experience of salvation and call to preach and all those other things and the churches that he pastored and started many of them. But every now and then, he after with this assurance and confidence of where he was, he'd stop and he'd say, you know, I look back, I don't know, I might have missed it when I left that church. Yes. Ain't you ever felt that way?
Yes.
Oh, and you wouldn't want to get out of God's will. You're just wrestling on which way to go, what to do. Yes, sir. And he talked about all those places and times he had. And he said, but you know, I might have missed it right there. I knew what he was talking about. I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And you said, well, what did the Lord do? You read the story and you'll see what he did. Huh? That's just a thought. But if I could, I'd like to go back and step into some of those settings. I just recently got to go to Philippi, to the jail that they say he was in there. Also the one in Rome. But I just like to suppose that somehow I got to be in there with him during that time. And I can hear the Apostle Paul say, Brother Dana, I've got a thought that I'm going to write to the church at Rome. I'd like to share it with you before I put it down. I said, well, I'd love to hear it, Paul. He'd said, well, I was thinking about me and my flesh and who I am. And he said, I thought I'd write, oh, wretched man that I am. I'd had to fall down on my knees and crawled over and embraced him and said, Paul, that's me right there. That's me right there. Oh, he said, but I got something else I'm going to write to the Corinthians. I said, well, what's that? He said, but I am what I am by the grace of God. I said, oh, man, you're nailing it every time. That's me. Now, Paul, I know you're writing it, and ain't long you're going to be taken out of here. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to preach that because I feel like I could have said it. 100%.
Amen.
And I'd like to be at David's bedside when he, before passing, said, I once said, preacher, been down here, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't got a lot of breath. I once was young. Now I'm old. I've yet to see the righteous forsaken and his seed begging bread. And I'd like to imagine I'm 70 years old when he says it. I said, Brother David, don't worry about it. I'll preach that for you after you're gone. Because I feel like I could have said that. Aren't you glad for the times that the Holy Ghost gives you a heavenly revelation as to who you are?
Amen.
Oh, wretched man. But also as to who he is. I am what I am.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Oh, yeah. Yes.